A giant of the legal world has died. Former federal judge and one-time Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork was 85. Bork was Solicitor General in the Nixon Justice Department, played a bit part in the Watergate scandal, and was soundly rejected for a seat on the high court.
Joining us to talk about Robert Bork and his impact, CBS Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen. Good to have you back, Andrew.
Good afternoon.
Robert Bork was revered among conservatives and more or less reviled in liberal circles. Why?
Well, I think it's because he took firm positions on some of the big issues of his time and our time in the law. He was candid. He was blunt about his views on privacy, on equal protection, on Brown versus Board of Education. And those views endeared him to the conservatives, and the liberal folks, the folks on the progressive side, didn't like it. Listen, if Robert Bork had not been nominated by President Ronald Reagan in 1987 for the U.S. Supreme Court, he still would have been a giant in the law. He was a Yale law professor. He was a longtime federal appeals court judge in the District of Columbia. He had an impressive resume before he went to the Senate Judiciary Committee and before he was essentially ripped apart there for the candor of his views. And, of course, that hearing in 1987 really changed the dynamic of Judiciary Committee hearings for judges over the past 25 years. The judges now come, and they're very not honest and not candid when they are asked questions about their philosophies.
Some credit Bork for championing the constructionist view of the Constitution, a view that prevails with some of our current justices. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think he was an early proponent of that. Justice Antonin Scalia, who issued a very poignant paragraph today in tribute to him, is of the same school. Ronald Reagan would have had a very much more conservative court had Robert Bork joined it. Instead, it was Justice Anthony Kennedy, also a conservative, who took Bork's place. Justice Kennedy has sided with conservatives for the most part over the past 25 years, but he's also come down on the liberal side on capital punishment, on gay rights, for example, and in other areas. So the court obviously would have been shaped a little bit differently had Bork prevailed. But there is a reason why he is so revered on the conservative side. He was a brilliant man, a brilliant jurist whose views got him into trouble when he expressed them so candidly back in 87.
And talk about the end of his life after that Supreme Court nomination fight. He seemed to be bitter at the very end. Talk a little bit more, about that.
Well, he may have been bitter in certain moments, but he was also still very productive. He wrote books. He taught. He was part of the conservative think tanks. He gave speeches around the country, and he was very much a symbol and an idol, you might say, to a new generation, a younger generation of conservative scholars in the law who have very much changed the scope of the federal judiciary, even the scope, you could argue, of the conversation about the law following the Warren Court in the 1950s and 60s. So Robert Bork is responsible for some of that, even though he didn't make it onto the court. And, of course, you know, the sad thing is, to me anyway, is that here's this guy who was known for being blunt and honest, whose hearing has generated the lack of all of that from subsequent candidates. Even Elena Kagan, the last person to join the U.S. Supreme Court, mentioned that the last substantive Supreme Court confirmation hearing was actually the Bork hearing. Both sides, I think, of the fight recoiled when they saw the drama and the intrigue and the animosity that that hearing generated.
All right. CBS Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen, thanks so much.
My pleasure.